So what happens the day that you feel profoundly committed to and passionate about a work of theater and you want to take it to a community and the community either hates it or is utterly indifferent to it? I mean, have you had that moment yet? Are you thinking ahead to that moment?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I mean, I think what I probably would do is not do that. I mean, I think there are shows I've made that have toured and gone to different places, and usually the audiences where they're being presented are audiences who are pretty used to experimental theater and who have bought a ticket and chosen to be there. I think there's a lot of danger in taking what you're making to a community and saying you should watch this without actually talking to them first. So I think what I would rather do is go to a place and say, you know, what do you need? Let's make that. And there's some really interesting examples of theaters in the country right now, like, you know, Mixed Blood Theater in Minneapolis, who they were trying to get people to come to their plays. And they even offered free tickets to everyone in their zip code because they realized the neighborhood where the theater was, the fewest people were coming to their plays from that neighborhood. So they said, okay, we'll offer free tickets. And some people came to the first one. And then the next show they did, no one came. And they went back and they said, oh, you guys, you know, it's free, you didn't come. And they said, yeah, we didn't really like that play. And they ended up working with them. And they said, okay, we hear you. What does this neighborhood need? And actually the conversation that people were the most interested in having there was about vaccinations. It was happening in a neighborhood where people were really divided over that issue. And they realized actually what these people were asking for, and they didn't need, you know, a Shakespeare play, but they wanted to make sort of like a public service announcement that they could then be the forum for them to have these discussions about vaccinations. So they made these plays that were all on that medical topic. They did the research, they joined with doctors, they had people from the community act in the plays, and it became a forum for discussion. Granted, artistically, I think I don't want to just make plays about vaccinations. I'm interested in the balance of how we can work with people outside of the industry to create something that is, for me, you know, aesthetically and artistically rigorous and not telling people how to think, but also making that with people who aren't just in our usual theater bubbles.
Right. But I mean, in fact, you were kind of going right towards something I was thinking as you were talking, which is that, I mean, one of the puzzles about both education and art is that sometimes what we want isn't what we need, if you know what I mean, that we, mm-hmm. that you're, when you're educating somebody or being educated, in a sense, there's a concession from the outset that you already don't know the things that you will come to know. That you don't necessarily even know the things that you need to know or want to know. And art seems to me to have that ability to surprise us too. I mean, so is there a way to work a happy medium there where you're giving people what will be needfully surprising rather than, in a sense, what they already think they want?
Yeah, that's exactly the balance I strive for. And I feel like all theater should be doing that. I mean, I think it's actually a place that's set up for an encounter. And I think ideally some of what that encounter can do is unsettle certainties. I mean, I think it's really a place for multiplicity. And I, you know, I talk to my students about this a lot because when they first start going to shows in Philadelphia, they often have the response, oh, I really liked that, or oh, I didn't like it. And most of the things they don't like are things that they're unfamiliar with. And so I really feel like people's comfort zones are formed by what they're exposed to. And it would be great. And often for, you know, a lot of these kids, it's like South Pacific and King Lear. And I think one of the responsibilities of art makers is to widen that comfort zone and increase where people are on that spectrum so they get more and more comfortable or at least responsive or open to work that will challenge them. I mean, I think a lot about theater is a balance between discomfort, you know, making people be in a space and think about something in a new way, and also recognition. and the balance of the two, the recognition of, oh, I felt that way before. I have empathy for this person, or, oh, that was put so beautifully. It makes me want to cry. But I really believe in, I think I spoke with you about this, this playwright, Brandon Jacobs Jenkins, who wrote An Octoroon, a piece I worked on at the Wilma a couple of years ago. And he really believes that our audiences should represent our democracy in their response. And so he doesn't want to make plays where everyone's standing up on their feet at the end. He wants to make plays where some people are offended and they walk out, and some people are up on their feet at the end, and one person's crying and one person's laughing and one person's saying, oh, should I not have laughed at that? And really have it be an experience that's not collective or communal, but one that's democratic and leaves the space for that.